UMass just finished their second and third games in a row against UMass Lowell, and they came away with a split. We're talking all about what it means and how the postseason picture is shaping up with six games left. So let's go.
Trevino shoots, he scores! McCart, one timer, score! Hollinger fires, he shoots, he scores! UMass does it again! Watch out! Watch out! UMass are national champions!
High character.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 175 of High Character. Interesting weekend for UMass. They had two more games with UMass Lowell. And they split them, a loss on the road, kind of ugly all things considered, and then a nice solid win at home on Saturday. 3 points on the weekend, they kind of keep pace in the Hockey East standings. My name is Cameron, and as always, I'm joined by my good pal, Evan, who has been sick and wasn't at the last couple games. Evan, how you doing, man? Are you alive over there?
A lot better. I think, I feel like how I was feeling is pretty similar to how UMass did this past weekend. Like, you know, first half or like first game, lacking energy, lacking strength, not really doing too hot. And then the bounce back a little bit later and you're starting to do a lot better. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of how I'm doing. I mean, I'm like 95% right now, which is still infinitely better than what I could have said before. No more sinus infection, no more just horrid flu-like symptoms. I'm back and I'm pretty excited to actually have a, you know, another episode where I can yap to my full capacity. So I'm ready to get started and get going on this one.
Well, along with the team, you'll have a nice 2 weeks off before you slip into another game. Basically a bye week for UMass hockey. Carvey's been talking about that a lot the last couple weeks of how big that is for the team. So it'll be our last little series recap for a couple weeks. And let's dive into it. So kind of relating to that time off and why it'll be so good, ton of injuries for UMass going into this game. I mean, I think we skated all of our healthy forwards, and Carvey literally said between the games this weekend that the lineup's the same because there's nobody else that he could even swap in. So still waiting on Bo Cosman, Nick Van Tassel, Vaslav Nesrosil. We have no idea what his injury is, and it's just like a mystery. We have no idea the timeline or anything like that. It sounds like Van Tassel and Cosman will be back in 2 weeks' time, but like we have no idea about Vaslav. And I mean, the break here with a weekend off could not have come at a better time, and we got to get some bodies back. Hopefully we do. 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, any game where you literally have no other forward options is not going to be, you know, one where you're starting off on your best foot. I mean, I feel like the encouraging sign is, like, if you look at, like, our roster, right? Like, I go on Elite Prospects all the time. Again, not a sponsor. Please, God, sponsor us. We got to actually look into that. But you look at, like, our stats page, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure the majority of our team is in the double digits for, like, games played. You know what I mean? Like, we have utilized our depth in crazy ways this season. And, I mean, Harvey, I feel like, has kind of said that. Like, he thinks that this is a pretty deep team. You know what I mean? Even regardless of how young it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's that same thing that I've been harping on almost every episode. It's just kind of like that next man up type of mentality. And we've had to rotate our lines like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I have somebody in our DMs right now who's going to be putting out a post, you know, about UMass hockey and, like, you know, what are, like, recruiting's looking like and, you know, all this stuff. I think it's a, like, College Puck NXT or whatever. And he's trying to ask us for help on that type of stuff. And he's like, oh, like, what is your team's, like, optimal line charts? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, dude. Like, we haven't been healthy all season. Like, there really is, like, no normal set of lines for this team. It's kind of just whatever the coaching staff's kind of feeling after looking at practice. And we don't really have anything where we can just say, like, this is our lineup for the next 2 months of hockey. You know what I mean? Like, we're constantly in flux. But, I mean, the most encouraging sign about all of it is that we're continuing to string together wins. You know what I mean? So it's clearly working even in the face of adversity. But it just shows you, you know, how good the coaching staff and how good the players have been throughout all of it.
Yeah, they really have. And leading into this series, 7-game win streak vibes at an all-time high for this season. I mean, you have no reason to think that's not going to continue against the bottom team in Hockey East coming into this game, UMass Lowell. And the way that this game starts out, I mean, the way that this entire Friday game goes is not like the team has been playing in the second half. Pretty brutal outcome and not a ton to talk about in this game, honestly. So we'll probably breeze through it a little quicker than the second one. But first period on Friday night, some really tough moments from the referees in this. Mm-hmm. Two penalty calls on UMass that are just as soft as it gets. A lot of inconsistency, too. We saw what looked like it should have been a clear boarding call that should have gone against UMass Lowell. There was no call at all. Obviously, I just mentioned the two Lowell power plays. No score after the first, but wasn't an enjoyable watch in terms of the like how UMass was playing and the refereeing, because they just had really no chance to get into the action in this first period.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like it's been a little bit since we've kind of, you know, pinned the blame on the refs a little bit here. And I mean, don't get me wrong, this is not the reason why we lost this game. Right. But it's not a, you know, again, putting your best foot forward, getting off to the right start, setting the tone, setting the momentum. Like, we didn't do any of that. But, like, two of those calls were just soft against UMass. You know what I mean? And then, if I'm not mistaken, there was definitely a moment where, like, I forget who it was, Cam. I don't know if you remember, but one of our guys got, like, straight boarded.
Was it Kletchka?
Yeah. And, yeah. Like, there was no call. Like, dude, you should have heard Carvey. Like, I didn't go to either game this weekend because I wasn't feeling the best, but you could tell on the ESPN Plus stream that I was watching it from, Carvey was ripped shit, dude. Like, he was screaming from the same. Like, I'm assuming it was even louder, you know what I mean, like, in person, right? Like, he was pissed, and I'd like to think rightfully so. You know, like, we've definitely had our viral moments on the podcast before talking about missed penalties and things of that nature from the Hockey East refs, and every time Carvey's complained about it, it's been for a good reason. So we really have no reason to doubt him there, and we saw it ourselves. But, yeah, not a great start, but kind of just like a whatever period, all things considered.
Yeah, I mean, not much going on. Even Saturday after the game in his press conference, Carvey was saying as much as he could against the ref that is not going to get him in trouble, which was kind of interesting. But we go to the second period. Lowell kind of starts to take over the game at this point. UMass is really not looking like themselves offensively in this one. About 8 minutes into the period, you see Lowell circling their zone and kind of a defensive breakdown. A winger is able to take the puck and just backpedal his way into that faceoff circle on the left side. Gets a lot of space, and he fires one past travel on the glove side. Nasty snipe. I think it was bar in. Really pretty goal, but kind of a breakdown to give this guy so much room down on the left side.
I mean, it's unfortunate too, because, like, I mean, we did have offense, you know what I mean? Like, early, like, I think it was both Slovakians, I think it was Kletchka and Jenchka both had chances, and they just kind of, I think, Cam, we might talk about this a little bit later in the episode, but just put it right in the goalie's chest both times. Yeah. You know, like, haven't really been super clinical with our shooting, at least at this point in the game. Obviously, we've had some wonderful snipes against Lowell, you know, last week, and honestly later on in this series as well. So, you know, we have the ability in us, but it just wasn't really shown. But yeah, I mean, for us to concede this goal sucks. You know, like, there's really just, I don't want to say it was against the run of play necessarily, but it was just a good goal. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to say a snipe necessarily, because it's like, I mean, it was a snipe, right? But like, the real big issue that I had was like, just, there was no screen. Like, there was no, like, nothing, you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of just far post and in, and still a great shot, all things considered. But I don't know. I kind of wish the Rebel did a little bit better with this one, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it was a nasty shot to top corner, bar in, but one that Rebel might want back. Not a ton of traffic in front, but nonetheless, 1-0. And UMass is able to answer pretty quickly, just 3 or 4 minutes later. Justin Kerr is able to find the net for his third straight game with a goal. Obviously, yeah, that overtime winner against Northeastern. He scored one in the first game last weekend against Lowell, and then he gets one here. I wish I had some more detail on the goal. If you pull up the video on Twitter, it seems like the wrong section of the game has been cut for this video, so it's not even the goal. But, I mean, a good save and a stoppage from Harabal in that video, at least. But Justin Kerr, man, he's been hot. It's good to see him keep it going.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think this was just like a rebound snipe, if I'm not mistaken. I think he kind of just picked up the puck like in like the mid slot and just kind of ripped it home. That's how most of his goals have been, honestly, recently. He's been one of our more proficient shooters. But yeah, I'm dying laughing looking at this, bro. Like, I'm going on Twitter. Maybe to pull back the curtain for everybody. we check Twitter whenever we do this type of stuff. You know, like, we don't have these goals memorized. Like, we relook at stuff when we try to describe these, and sometimes we just don't have the video footage available. Like,
I mean, the fact this tweet has been edited after it was posted, and it has 16 likes with nobody saying,
like, hey, what's going on? Video. It's like, stay hot, Justin Kerr, with a flame emoji. And I don't even know if Justin Kerr's on the ice in this play. I'm going to be honest with you.
He's
like,
not.
So, I mean, fully agree with the sentiment. You know what I mean? I hope he stays hot. He's been killing it. And we're going to talk about him a little bit later in the episode as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember this one identically, but I'm pretty sure both of his goals that he scored this weekend, because spoiler alert, he has a couple. Pretty sure we're all scored from the mid slot just off of like forehand rips. I think they were both glove side, if I'm not mistaken. So keep it going, Justin Kerr. He's been electric, because this was what I think his third goal in three games, if I'm not mistaken. He just keeps scoring back to back to back. So he's getting it done out there, especially for being such a big body, dude. You know what I mean? Like, again, I feel like the comparisons that I was hearing about him was like, oh, this kid might be the next Mercury. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be a 4-year guy, he's going to be a big power forward type. And, like, I'm actually starting to see it even more now, because I'm pretty sure when Carvey was talking about Mercury, like, when Mercury first came to campus, he was a skill guy. He wasn't, like, this big, tough, power forward guy. He kind of grew into that. Kind of sounds like that's what we're getting with Kerr here. Like, he's a skill guy. You know what I mean? He's getting goals. Some of them are greasy. Some of them are pretty. I think this was one of the prettier ones.
Yeah, and Carvey said so in his press conference after Saturday, and he's like, I'm good. I expect that from a 22-year-old freshman or something along those lines.
I think he's 21, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to – just believe me, dude, I'm friggin' harping on the older freshman as much as the next guy with all the CHL BS that's been going on. But I think he's still – oh, shit, he turned 22 a month ago. Oh, no, I'm eating my words, Cam. Maybe I'm now down on Justin Kerr. No, I'm kidding. We friggin' love Kerr around here. He's been killing it. Long may it last.
So another point to Carvey right there. He got you on that one.
Classic.
But good stuff from Justin Kerr. And yeah, I guess that tweet is just kind of a microcosm of this game and UMass's performance. But a few minutes later, near the end of the second period, maybe the worst goal that UMass has given up all season long. I mean, Mole just has the puck behind their net. You see a long pass to the far blue line, and there's a winger up there, a forward, that is just uncovered by Murray and Olvestad. I mean, he's all alone. Entry, he gets a breakaway and finds the back of the net past travel. Nothing he can do there. But, I mean, a breakdown of epic proportions right there, and Lowell has the lead.
How the hell does that happen, man? Like, first off, the pass kind of fools the cameraman. Like, you don't even see the pass get picked up. But what I do see is that both defensemen were back basically along our own blue line when this pass happened, and we just get beat. You know, like, I don't know if it was just a lapse in positioning, if it was a lapse in, I don't want to say defensive effort, but just defensive speed and momentum. Like, they weren't just keeping up with the player. But, you know, we've been very complimentary of the defense during our win streak up to this date. You know what I mean? And a lot of that, you know, complimentary defense has been lack of giving up breakaways, lack of giving up odd man rushes, lack of giving up, you know, just high danger scoring chances. And yet here we are kind of regressing back into the things that was making our team click so well. So, I mean, the moment that I saw this, that was the moment where I was like, we might be screwed here. You know what I mean? Because, like, let's say Lowell gets a couple weird, chippy, greasy ones. You know what I mean? Like, goals that we're not necessarily gifting them, we gave them that goal. Like, through our defensive lapse, that was basically, if they didn't score that, we would have been extremely lucky. We that right there is probably the textbook definition of you get what you deserve. We deserve to get scored on that sequence. And yeah, it sucks that we give up the lead there. You know what I mean? That's 2-1 to the bad guys.
Yeah, and I mean, we got more of what we deserve in the third period. Just a, for lack of a better word, pathetic performance in this third period. I mean, down one for the entire stretch of it. The team only gets 4 shots on goal in the entire period. Just looking anemic offensively. Lowell was able to get the empty netter with a couple minutes left, and that was all she wrote. 3-1 loss in a game against the last place Hockey East team, and really sucky way to end the 7-game win streak, and not what you want when you're battling in that NPI right now to a 50th place NPI team.
Yeah, it was ugly. You know what I mean? Like, the performance wasn't great. the NPI implications, definitely not great. It's just not what you want to see. You know, like, again, with how well we were playing, like, the teams that we were beating were solid team. You know what I mean? Like, they were definitely not last place in Hockey East caliber. You know what I mean? And I feel like we all know. I mean, if you guys have been watching UMass hockey for the past couple of years, I mean, there's never really an easy game against Lowell for the most part. Like, Lowell, it's always Lowell and Merrimack are the two teams, in my opinion, that are always just like, it's going to be a 1-2 goal game. You're not going to get a blowout. That's just like, it's death, taxes, and close games with those two teams. Like, those are just the inevitabilities of life. So, you know, obviously it sucks to be in the losing column, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy. And I feel like this was kind of just proof of that. It sucks.
Yeah, man, we both weren't at this game, and like, just watching it home, it was really frustrating. Like, yeah. I was upset throughout, especially in the third period, just not doing anything, getting any offensive going. I mean, I don't even know like how much stock we could put into this game, because we watched the last 7 games before and a lot of promising signs. So
yeah,
I guess just hoping it was a blip on the radar. I mean, Harvey said specifically we were complacent and got outwilled tonight, and kind of agree. That's what it looked like for most of the game. It looked like just Lowell wanted it more, and despite maybe the talent difference and skill difference, they got the job done. UMass was kind of sleepwalking here.
You know what really like makes me super annoyed about the whole thing? So like, I want to say it was the past like 3 or 4 games that I can't make it to in person. I always make it a point to stream the game to my buddies on Discord, because I'll just like be talking to them or whatever. And it's like in an earnest attempt to try to get them to maybe enjoy a little bit of UMass college hockey, right? Like, just try to convert some people, spread the good word of New Mass. And I want to say the past 3 or 4 times I've streamed a game to my buddies, it's been in the losing column. And like, I always get like the roasts afterwards. They're like, haha, like Evan doesn't get to see his team win. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, this sucks. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to spread the good word and get people on the bandwagon, and it's like, every time I try to do it, it never seems to work out. So obviously everybody's going to be screaming at me saying, well, you should have been at the game. Hey man, I wish, you know what I mean? I don't want to be a super spreader, but it is what it is. So luckily, spoiler alert, we get to bounce back a little bit, and I would much prefer to talk about that game now and move on. But Cabe, you got anything else for this game?
I don't. I just want to put this game behind us.
Hell yeah, brother.
This one sucks. All right, yeah, going into Saturday, UMass needing to bounce back, and especially the offense needs to find something, and they do that pretty quickly. 5 minutes in, boys are buzzing a little bit off the opening faceoff, and Owen Murray finds himself with the puck in a lot of room. He takes a couple steps in from the blue line, fires a wrister, and it does get passed into the back of the net. His first goal in a while, and you could tell from the celly, it was pretty electric. The boys were loving it, and amazing to get a quick 1-0 lead, especially after Friday.
Friggin' rip that one, dude. Like, I mean, Murray, I'm trying to remember, was that his second of the season? Like, no offense to old Owen Murray there, but like, he hasn't really been showing up on the scoring sheet a lot. You know, like, I think he did pretty good early on in the season. I'm trying to pull this up right now.
I thought he had one, like, in the very first couple
of games. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's been kind of more like on the assist grind and like playing defense more than anything. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was the second of the season. So I mean, not too many in the goal columns, you know, this year, but that was a beauty. You know what I mean? Like, that was just, again, like, we've been kind of scoring, like, I think I said this probably like a month or two ago, but I was like, when can we get some nice goals again? You know what I mean? Like, just not ones where you're sitting there just hacking at a puck for, you know, 5 minutes in front of the tendy and just praying that something chips their way in. You know what I mean? Like, this was just, you get a little bit of speed going, you're cutting left to right, you know, across the goalie, and just snipe it far post. Like, it's a beauty. You know what I mean? And Owen Murray's definitely had that in his locker. You know what I mean? Like, he is a very solid player. So it's great to see. Very happy. The captain's contribution, you can never, never complain about one of those. And we've been getting quite a bit of those the past, you know, month and a half or so. I mean, Olvi, I think he had, what, 3 last month? And now Murray's getting one on the score sheet. So the captains are starting to come up big, and I think that's really, really needed.
Yeah, it's great to see. And as pretty as that goal was, you get the polar opposite just 20 seconds later.
Oh, boy.
A shot from Jack Musa goes on net. Jack Galanik just kind of hacking at the pucks down near the crease, and he's able to connect with it, find the back of the net. 2 goals in 28 seconds. Pretty decent crowd at Mullins, going crazy. It's nice to see. It's especially after how frustrating Friday was. You rinse off, you get past it, you go to the next night, and 2 goals to start this game pretty quick is awesome. Always.
Galanik rocks, man. Like, I think that's like his 20-something point of the season. Like, but the problem is that his spread is like, I think, like 3 goals and like 18 assists or something crazy. Don't have the numbers in front of me. That's purely off memory. I'm praying that I'm right when I say that. But he's just been that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I was super high on him last year when he was playing in the junior leagues, you know, the USHL. You know, Vasilov's teammate, basically best pal. You know what I mean? Like, I thought they were both going to be killing it in Amherst. And, I mean, they've both been doing so in their own ways. Like, obviously, Nesterstil's not playing in this game. God, hoping that he's, you know, going to be feeling better. But, yeah, I mean, Galanik, dude, not the type of goal that you'd expect him to score. He's not the biggest dude. He's not exactly what you'd call a net front hero by any stretch. But, I mean, right place, right time, just kind of scoops it in. It's not like he really has to work hard for it. So, nice little backhand, chips it in, and we're smiling with a, what is that, 2 goals in like 28 seconds or something crazy. Yep. So, love to see it, man.
Then just a few minutes later, we're smiling again. A loose puck out in front. We were for a little bit. Loose puck out in front. UMass was all over Lowell here in the first part of this first period. Justin Kerr just Superman dives into the crease. If you watch the replay back in super slow-mo, if he made contact with the stick, that puck was going in. He doesn't, and his arm and hand kind of take the puck into the goalie's glove and altogether gets pushed into the goal. The refs call a good goal. They go to replay, and they specifically say to see if the puck went in before the whistle. They take their time reviewing that one. One of the refs skates over to the Lowell bench to explain things. One of them goes to the center and says, we have a good goal. It went in after the whistle or before the whistle. And then the other ref that was talking to the Lowell bench said Lowell is challenging for goaltender interference. They go and look at the monitor, but they don't actually look at it. They come right back out of the box and immediately say, no goal, challenge successful. And that was a little second challenge. So if they lost that one, they would have gotten a penalty for delay of game right there. A lot going on. Thought it would be 3-0. Goes back to 2-0, and then immediately, like a fluky, weird bounce goal from Lowell makes it 2-1. So in a span of maybe 20 seconds of game time, we have a 3-0 UMass lead that turns into a 2-1 UMass lead. Crazy.
Like, insane. Like, first off, the Superman dive, rock star. That freaking was awesome. I really wish that he could just make any sort of contact because that would have clearly put it in. Then the Superman dive turns into, like, it looked to me like a Superman punch. Like, it kind of looked like he kind of like gave it a little fist bump, you know what I mean? But they weren't even concerned about that part, which I thought was kind of funny. I thought that was going to be the main point of the challenge. And then, yeah, I mean, this is why directors of hockey ops exist, folks. You know what I mean? Is to make those challenges. And I mean, it worked in Lowell's favor. It is what it is. But I mean, yeah, you want to talk about a freaking fluky-ass goal that goes in the other way? Dude? I mean, I'm pretty sure it took like a deflection or two and literally just kind of like, it looked like a Dirk Nowitzki 3-pointer. You know what I mean? Like, just like high arcing and just somehow managed to find its way in the back. Like, it was weird. I think it might have went off one of our own players. Might have been like Ovi or somebody. But yeah, super, like, Bramble had no idea where it was. Screen to hell. I mean, just a weird one. And again, just the momentum swing. Like, you go from 3-0 to 2-1 and you're like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, kind of felt, you know, at least for me, I felt a little shell-shocked. Obviously, I think the players felt a little shell-shocked after, but we just had to lock in and, you know, get back on the right track, as it were.
Yeah, it took the wind out of the sails in the first period, which was blowing real hard, especially after that one off of Kerr went in. So 2-1 lead going into the first intermission, and then about halfway through the second, Lowell comes out skating around UMass's zone and just an awful defensive breakdown. They have a skater go right into the slot, right down to the crease. He's able to put a little move on Unravel that looked like a breakaway, but it was when everybody was set in the defensive zone, which was crazy. And just like that, this game's tied. It felt like it could have been easily a blowout win in the first period, and all of a sudden, halfway through this game, 2-2.
It's another ridiculous defensive breakdown. You know what I mean? Like, they found the soft spot, but, like, that soft spot shouldn't even exist. Like, We were just drifting out too far, and we basically just, like, it's like SpongeBob, where it's like, that's my slot. Now let them have it. You can have it. Like, and we just let them go in. Like, I don't know. It was so stupid. So, you know, nothing really Gravel can do there. You get beat cleanly on the backhand like that. He tried, you know what I mean? But, like, you shouldn't be allowed to just skate unfettered into the low slot like that and just kind of pull off a nice little shootout move. I mean, it sucks, but again, like, I just kind of had a bit of a different feeling about this game. Like, it just felt like the way that the first period went, and just, like, we just kind of had, like, it felt like we could score. You know what I mean? Like, that was the difference, was, like, the offense was non-existent the game prior. We outscored our previous game's performance within the first, like, 5 minutes. So I was like, all right, we have a better basis of understanding to go off of here. I think the boys are a bit more ready to go. And obviously I was a little bit, you know, annoyed by the fact it was tied, but I felt confident that we were going to dig our way out eventually.
Yeah, it felt a little shaky there, but offense was doing a lot more for the eye test, at least, than they were on Friday, which was good. Later on in the second period, a few minutes later, about 4 or 5 minutes later, you see kind of a non-assuming chance. UMass kind of on the rush back in the Lowell zone. Pass from Keenan to Kerr up the right side. Kerr fires a shot from the top of the faceoff circle on the right side, and it somehow gets under the arm, the glove side arm of the Lowell goaltender. I think I specifically said to Sophia after this one, if Gravel gave up that same goal, I would be livid. Kind of a soft goal and an unassuming shot, but another goal for Justin Kerr, 4 straight games, found the soft spot there in the goaltender and gives UMass the lead. It's a big spot, so, like, big stuff right there, regardless of how it went in. Huge, make it 3-2.
First off, the celly. Like, literally just standing in front of a bunch of people in the Commonwealth Club, just, like, he looked like a friggin' seagull. Like, he's just sitting there just flapping his arms. That rocks, just to say. But I don't know if we got, like, some sort of, like, scouting report on the opposing Tendy, but, like, considering the way that we were shooting center mass most of the time on him, it felt like, especially between, like, Klechko's chance, you know, before or in the previous game, and then Yenshko's chance the previous game, like, just shooting directly into his chest. Like, that's basically what Kerr did here, but just ever so slightly off center. You know what I mean? Like, he was shooting at his, like, left ribs, basically, and somehow just managed to squeak it by. I mean, we take those. You know what I mean? Like, again, not pretty. Like you said, Cam, probably the perfect way of explaining. If Rabble gave that up, I'd probably be calling for his head and saying, Jackson Irving, get your ass in net. But that's not what happened. So we're smiling. So it's great when it happens to the other team, not so great when it happens to you.
Yeah, and I mean, it got the crowd back into it again, kind of shell-shocked a little bit about how that first period went, and obviously the game-time goal in the second. But 3-2 going into the third, and UMass finds themselves shorthanded here at the beginning of the third. Lowell, a chance to tie this game up, and it might be a part of a different conversation, but I thought the refs were even worse in this game than they were on Friday night. Just some suspect calls, and none of them were going UMass's way. It was kind of tough, but found ourselves on the penalty kill, and they make the most of it. Larry Keenan takes the puck away in the neutral zone. He finds a streaking Jack Musa with all kinds of space, finds himself on the breakaway. He shoots low blocker side, I believe, and it gets past the 10D. Kind of reminiscent of a lot of goals that we saw from Bobby Trevino years ago. That's the flashback I had in my mind watching that one. And nice big crowd pop at Mullins was pretty sweet, and makes it 4-2, and things were feeling good. It's good to get a shorty. It feels like it's been a while.
I was about to say, man, shorthanded goals have been, I'd say, a little bit hard to come by. You know what I mean? Especially for UMass. But Musa's the dude that you entrust to do that. Like, I don't know what it is about shorthanded goal, and I'm going to say this as respectfully as I possibly can, but, like, why is it always short players scoring shorthanded goal? Like, and you think, like, to the Bruins, like Brad Marchand, like Patrice Bergeron, like, they were not big guys. You know what I mean? Like, Bobby Trevino, good amount of shorthanded goal. Jack Musa, shorthanded goal. Like, just something about, like, those smaller, more agile, speedy guys. Obviously, it makes sense. You want to hit a guy on a counterattack on a penalty kill or whatever. I get it logically, but, like, you're telling me there's not, like, Václav Nestrosil needs to get himself, I think, like a shorthanded goal, or even Kerr. Kerr's been the freaking hot hand when it comes to scoring. I just want somebody whose height starts with the number 6. No disrespect to the Short Kings out there. I'm like 5'10 myself, but I think just for the culture, it'd be kind of cool just to kind of buck the trend a little bit. But obviously, no issues with that goal. Super happy for Musa. That's like the, like, that was probably the most quintessential Jack Musa goal that I could, like, if somebody says, like, hey, man, how did Jack Musa play? I'm going to show them that goal and just be like, he's fast and he's accurate. Like, that's it. So, great goal out of him.
Yeah, I think the speed is king on those shorthanded chances for sure. This guy, like I said, got the crowd up and going. UMass played pretty confidently the rest of the third period. I mean, this game, after that goal, this game felt over, and it kind of was. Lowell pulls their goalie with a few minutes left, and took a while, took a few chances, but we finally see one buried from Klechka, makes it 5-2. A lot of antics between this and the final buzzer. Lowell was, I mean, I'll just say they were scumbag of a team.
True.
In this game. I mean, dirty hits after the whistle. Just like, one thing I noticed is their guys are just trying their hardest to get into Hravel's crease after the whistles for no apparent reason. It was just ridiculous, and they got away with a lot. I'm really surprised with how the refereeing played out in this game. I mean,
dude, it was basically one dude. I think Connor Eddy. I think that was the guy that was like it. Like, he was just a freaking clown. Like,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure even after the game, dude, like, there was a bunch of bullshit happened in the handshake line. Like, it should, or not even in the handshake line, but like right before they got into the handshake line. Yeah. Like, it was like right as the whistle blew. Like, people were like throwing hands, and I'm like, dude, like, what are we doing here? Like, I don't know. Kind of a mess. Low character, hashtag, throw it out there. Little brother, like, we split the series, but, like, when it comes to character, I think we got the clean sweep. But it is what, we're not playing for character, folks. We're playing for golden points, but it is what it is. It's unfortunate, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we never see that from Carve's teams, and he specifically says it's not part of our game. So just got to take what you can and do what you can when you play teams like that. But luckily, tensions didn't boil over too much. UMass gets the 5-2 win. And solid, man. I mean, it's a game you had to win. I think there would be no excuse at all if you didn't. And it's just good to see a strong win. It wasn't shaky. It wasn't, maybe we didn't deserve that win. It was a nice, solid win as a rebound from that loss.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, if you drop one game, it's one game, it happens. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can lose to anybody in college hockey. It's just the way she goes. But you get swept, dude, that's a bit more damning. So, I mean, I think our NPI is still relatively fine. I'm pretty sure we're still ranked 19th in the polls right now. Granted, it's just the USCHO poll. Doesn't actually mean anything. But, like, do you know off the top of your head, like, did we drastically fall in the NPI? Like, I can
pull it up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I'll stall for time while we do that. But, I mean, just on the whole, for the whole weekend, I mean, I'm fine with how it went. Like, I would have preferred, at least if we lost, I would have preferred an overtime. And I think everybody would say that, obviously. I mean, you know, just mathematically, it makes sense that way. But just, I don't know, a bit of an annoying series. But I think the fact that we won the second game, I would have rather have lost the first game and won the second game, if that makes any sense. Because, you know, it's not like it's going to mean a whole lot, because, again, we have the bye week this coming weekend. But ending a series on a high, I feel like, is always preferable. You know what I mean? So we'll see.
Right now we're at 19th in the NPI. I think going into this weekend, we were 18th. So not a crazy fall off. I think I saw a post today that the most recent metrics have us at like a 15 to 20% chance to make the NCAA tournament right now. Which,
yeah,
I mean, it's a lot more than I would have expected a couple weeks ago. So I'm happy with that. I mean,
put it like this, man. I mean, that's pretty much where I had it in my head that we were going to end up. Like, I feel like, you know, if somebody were to ask me right now, like before you told me that, what do you think UMass's chances are making the tourney? I'd say about 20, 25%. So, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like the math is kind of matching up with what's in my own head. We take those, you know what I mean? But I still think there's a path, you know what I mean? Like, I do think that, I don't think we have, like, the most scary, like, end of the season. Like, we're not playing like a bunch of big boys like we were towards the beginning and middle of the season. Like, I think we have a pretty favorable schedule, and if we can get another streak together, you know what I mean, and just kind of finish strong in the season, I think we're putting ourselves in a good chance, especially if we make some noise in the Hockey East playoffs, or, dare I say, win the damn thing. That'd be kind of cool, but that's a couple months into the future. It's all about, as we remember from our, what was it, 2000, was it 2017, when we're hanging out in the student section in the pregame. It's always about playing in Boston in March. So, you know what I mean? Like, we'll hopefully get back to those days. And, well, I mean, yeah, whatever. You get the idea.
I think you're talking about 2018, 2019. You said 2027, so it really
threw me off. No, I said 2017, I thought. But, whatever. It is what
27?
No, 2017, bro.
2017. Okay, yeah, I heard 2027.
Oh, no, I thought I said 2017. Whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, three games against UNH, going to have to be pretty strong in those. And a chance to make some noise with two games against UConn and BC. Both of those teams are ahead of us in the MPI. But those are conversations for another day. We'll round out this game. I have a nice quote from Coach Carvey. He said, "It was a great bounce back from last night's game where I didn't think we showed much. We portrayed this as a playoff game tonight since we don't play for 2 weeks. We wanted to go out feeling good about ourselves in the break, and I thought our first period was outstanding. We almost had a 3-0 lead. That quickly changed on us. When you play Lowell, it's always going to be a heavy physical game, but I thought we did a really good job keeping them on the outside, and I thought Rabel looked outstanding. I thought Larry Keene was a huge factor in this game. He made plays, set guys up, and was outstanding defensively. Skated us out of trouble a lot of times. I'm very, very proud of the group." So Garvey happy with this one, and hard to blame him. I hope this is more of what we get, and it seems more in line with the team that we've had in the second half. So, like I said, again, just hopefully Friday was a complete blip in the radar, and we're still smooth sailing right now.
Dude, bless up Larry Keenan. I know we really didn't talk about him a whole lot, but Carvey's quote does kind of ring true there. I mean, just such a reliable player. You know what I mean? Like, offensively, in transition, defensively. He gets it done. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to be talking about him too much, you know, in the awards section, but he did have himself a very tidy weekend and, you know, hoping that he sticks around next year.
Yeah, it's certainly a question at this point. He's been outstanding. I really think his game portrays well to the NHL style, just his size and defensive structure, I guess you could say. He's been fantastic and a big part of winning 8 out of our last 9 games. So great stretch that we're on right now. Obviously a week off. Hopefully the team doesn't cool off in that time and is able to just keep it going after the break. But is there anything left before we jump into our awards here?
No, sir. I think we're ready to move on.
All right. So the first award that we give out, CCC, Carvel's Character and Compete Award. And it's a guy that we were kind of surprised before recording this scene that he hasn't won one yet this year. We're giving it to Justin Kerr. I mean, scored goals in both games, could have easily had a second goal on Saturday night. He has a 4-game goal streak right now for a freshman. I feel like that's insane. Just awesome stuff. And you made the Mercury comparison. I feel like we've been peddling that the last couple weeks. He just looks really, really solid. And I know he's older for a freshman, but it is still his first year playing at this level. And on Saturday, Carvey was talking about it in his post game, trying to be as respectful as possible, saying he doesn't, before coming to UMass, he didn't have experience playing in leagues or with teams that are at really high levels. Like, his skill was able to get him through a lot, but playing in really tough situations and this just higher skill level that NCAA is been big for him and a big learning curve, but he's reaping the rewards right now. And he's fun to watch. He's a super reliable forward right now. And it's awesome.
Dude, he friggin' rocks. I mean, just looking at the box score for Saturday's game, bro had 7 shots. That's I didn't even notice that initially off the eye test. You know, I wasn't thinking oh yeah, he's putting the puck on net more than everybody else. Like, he's looking like John Leonard out there. Like, I wasn't thinking that, you know what I mean? But he's been scoring goals, still been a plus player in the faceoff dot. I think he was above 50% on the weekend. So, I mean, he's just been that guy. You know what I mean? Like, when you talk about a freshman center and you want to talk about encouraging signs for what you want to see developmentally, it's scoring goals, doing well in the faceoff dot, and not being a complete liability defensively. Justin Kerr's checked all 3 of those boxes, I think, at least more recently. You know what I mean? First half of the season, he was fine. You know what I mean? I thought he was solid. Like, he definitely had areas and, you know, places to grow or whatever, and he still does. Don't get me wrong. He's not a perfect player. kid's only, you know, two-thirds of the way through his freshman season, but like he's getting there, you know what I mean? So, you know, he's starting to definitely put it all together. He's getting the goals, you know, he's looking solid offensively. He's just doing what you need him to do. So, you know, again, when we talk about our biggest question mark going into the season was the center group. Mm-hmm. We now have ourselves at least a couple of extremely reliable centers. And I think we're going to have a couple more coming along on the way, you know, next year. Dude, we're dangerous now. You know what I mean? Like, we got ourselves some pieces, and Kerr's definitely one of them going forward.
Yeah, it's great to watch, and we got a lot more time with him too, which is, I think, the most awesome thing. So,
yes, sir.
Great job, Justin Kerr. A couple weekends in a row for him with some awards on this show. So, it's good stuff. Next award we give out, good try, UMass, somebody who we just expect a little bit more from next time out there. And an interesting one this week. I think this is more a culmination of a few weeks, at least for me. It's kind of been in my thoughts, but we're giving this one to Daniel Yenshko. Obviously, last year as a freshman, fantastic. I think we were talking about him last year in a lot of the ways that we're talking about, like, a Justin Kerr this year. He was scoring a lot. I mean, he scored in the NCAA tournament once or twice, like, big stuff. And seems that, at least right now in the last couple of weeks, that he's kind of a little snake bitten, man. Like, it's, at least eye test wise for me, it seems like maybe 10 or 12 times in a row now when he's had clear cut chances, he just hits the goaltender's stomach on the shot. And he's getting this award because we know what his potential is, and it's more than that. So it's just a little tough to see. He's had himself quite a lot of grade A chances and just not burying them.
I mean, for me, it's just an eye test thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if it was this, I think it might have been the Friday game, but not mistaken, he got absolutely rinsed by a Lowell player. Like, just, like, I think it was a defenseman just straight up toe-dragged him and just went around. And he did, like, a cartoonish, like, slipping, dude looked like he was on roller skates just falling on his ass. Like, you know, you get a little bit embarrassed by that. I mean, not a great look just off rip. You know, again, eye test-wise. I think he had an assist on the weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Two, I believe.
It might have been two, but, like, just not clinical enough when it comes to shooting. You know what I mean? Like, he's been a bit frustrating because, like, I don't think that he's been good enough defensively to warrant his kind of just, like, offensive inconsistency, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, he has had chances to kind of break out and, like, solidify himself as a top six scoring forward. And, like,
a lot of chances.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it's just, like, it feels like there's a lot that he's leaving on the table. You know what I mean? And this is kind of like the call to action. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be completely transparent. I think I've already made my decision on who's going to be our breakout player next year, kind of similar to like a Cole O'Hara. I think it's going to be Yenshko. I genuinely think that Yenshko will be, like, maybe not like Hobie level type shit where he's putting up, you know, 40 something points, but like, I think he's going to be a leading player next year, but he's not showing it right now. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a hunch that I have, but he hasn't really been instilling a ton of confidence in me on that, you know, in that regard over the past couple weeks now. So I think it's deserved. It's his first. I mean, let me go back here. I mean, the last time we gave him this award, because I have this stuff all cataloged, which I think is super cool, was back in, it was literally the turn, like, it was January 31st, 2025. Like, this is about a year ago. You know what I mean? Like, almost a year. You know, it was a year and a week, basically. So, I mean, it's not like we've really been feeling the need to give him this very often. I think this might be, this is only the second time we've ever given him this award. You know what I mean? So, once a year, yeah, it is what it is. You know what I mean? You're going to have one crappy, you know, freaking series a year, then it is what it is. But definitely left a bit to be desired this weekend, in our opinion.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things that, like, teams already won eight out of their last nine right now. I mean, if down the stretch, if we unlock his offensive potential, I know Carvey's talked about a lot about a guy like Nick Van Tassel unlocking his potential when he gets back from his injury. Like, there are guys on this team that, like, we're not getting the full experience of right now. And if we do, man, like, we're already pretty solid right now. We have a kind of a juggernaut on their hands. It's just got to unlock that potential that we know these guys have. So hopefully we see it in the last couple weeks of the season, and obviously leading into the playoffs. That's the most important.
It's crazy, man, because it's like we were banging this exact same drum last year, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like, we were literally sitting here like thinking, guys, we can make it happen. There's something there. We just gotta just keep believing. We just gotta show it, and it eventually happened.
Yeah,
kind of along the same stride right now. You know what I mean? But there's still a bit of a ways to go. Cam, I know you had something to mention. So
We had this same conversation last year about Donz Lushmelis and Idar Suniev, and they went on a torrid pace in the second.
Yeah. I will gladly take, you know, if Yenchko becomes a second half hero, you know what I mean? Like, basically, Justin Kerr is becoming Kenny Connors and is learning how to score. You know what I mean? Like, if Yenchko becomes Suniev, I mean, these are some tall ass here. Don't get me wrong, folks. Like, this is not we're asking two undrafted guys to become third and fourth round picks, respectively. But it's possible. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure the leading point scorer in the NCAA right now is a fifth round pick. Draft position don't mean shit. Let's be honest here. You know what I mean? That's all about NHL projectables 5-10 years down the line. This is what we got right now. You know what I mean? But I would still love to see them take that next step and really kind of, you know, be the guys that we think they can be.
Yeah. So hopefully we see that next time out and as the season goes along. Time for our custom awards. I think I might go first. I feel like you've been going first for a few episodes in a row.
Go for it, King.
I think I'll just take the reins here. I'm giving out the Olympic Torch Award. It's kind of topical. The Olympics underway. And for some reason, I just had that play on words in my head on Saturday night when Owen Murray scored. This award's going to him. I was talking to him after the game, and he had a great celly after this goal. And obviously, it's been a bit since he last scored. You can kind of feel that watching him celly. And he specifically said, hey, tough loss. Had to get the crowd fired up for this game. So basically saw that as lighting the Olympic torch, getting the crowd going there. Want it to be topical. And, yeah, man, happy for Murray. You can see how much it means to him. And I think Carvey specifically, he didn't mention Murray specifically, I don't think, when talking about this. But he said specifically, like, he sees it in guys that are in their senior year. And obviously he's referencing Murray. He's one of just a couple seniors this year. That, like, they kind of see the ending in sight. They see the light at the end of the tunnel for their college career, and it just means more to them at that point. Like, so much, like, goes into their hockey careers, and to get to that point as a senior, your time's limited. And Carvey was saying that even, like, the practices and, like, little time with the teammates and stuff like that is super valued to guys like that. And you could see it with Murray. Like, so happy for him to get that goal, and hopefully he has more moments like that before his career is over, because he's one of those guys that just gets it and is all in ways that other guys aren't.
Dude, Owen Murray, he's going to go down as a cult hero for me. Like, and I remember saying it, because was the first year that we started doing this pod, was that his freshman year? Is that how the math worked out?
This is our fifth season doing the pod, so he wasn't around yet.
Okay, so maybe it was the second year. Because I remember saying it, and it was probably on the pod, or it might have been – I remember it was me talking to you when we were in Maine. It was the end of like the season. And I think it was that trip that we made up to Maine. Yep. And I'm pretty sure Murray scored. And that might have been like his first ever UMass goal. Because I think he only had like one or two goals that year.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at you and I was like, dude, he probably has the worst plus minus on the team. I think he was like a minus 12 or a minus 13 at that point.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there and I'm like, this kid's going to figure it out. Like, he's going to be that guy eventually. And like, I just knew from that moment on, I'm like, there's potential in him. Like, and it's obviously like the character and the personality too. Like, the stuff that he has tried to do for this program, that he has done for this program. Like, I don't know if I'm like allowed to say this, but like, he's one of the main dudes that was getting like the new goal song going. Like, he is like, he's trying to get the culture. He's trying to get like, he gets college hockey. You know what I mean? And that's the beautiful thing about Owen Murray to me. You know what I mean? Like, it is like an Olympic torch, like in that kind of respect of just like there's like this symbolism, you know what I mean? Like, and he's just embodied that, and he's been such a great leader and real talk, just such a great person. He's the first ever current player we've ever had on the pod. Every other player we've ever had on a pod interview has always been a former player. You know what I mean? So we finally got somebody in, you know, and he was the first guy that was, you know, willing to do that. So, I mean, super cool dude. And I mean, just can't give him enough props. Like, he rocks, and his Selly game is absolutely elite. Like, he, I think if we had, here's what we got to do for an offseason episode, Cam, or maybe just like a random bit when we're done with an episode, we got to do like a UMass all-time Selly team. And he, I mean, he's first overall, in my opinion, I think easily. But yeah, dude, I mean, Murray's just that dude. He rocks.
I'd like UFCO to be a part of that conversation as well, but
I can see it. I mean, dude, yeah. All right, we're not going to do that this episode, but now you got my brain going, but we'll do it for another time. But
yeah, that was kind of my thoughts with the naming of the award. Like, if we had, as a group of UMass hockey fans and the team, if we had to pick one person to be our representative, like, person carrying the torch bearer, it's him, like, by a lot. So
100%, man, he rocks.
All right, what do you got for your award?
All right, so this one, I know you always start out with the bear with me, folks, but I'm gonna be the bear with me. Hear me out when I do this. So I'm giving out the Jack to Jack award. It's going to two individuals, both named Jack. Absolute friggin' shocker. So we got Jack Musa, and I mean, technically Musa was kind of secondary to this because I was gonna give it to Jack Atlantic originally. But yeah, I'm calling it the Jack to Jack award because it's a back-to-back pun because we scored like two goals in the span of like 28 seconds, and Galanik ended up scoring the second one. But also, that goal that Galanik scored was also assisted by Jack Musa. So it was Jack to Jack in that respect, but also back-to-back. You know, like, we love puns on the pod here. I mean, and I feel like, Cam, you're kind of the main culprit of that. I feel like you tend to do the puns a lot more than I do. I'm a bit more, like, I get a little too in my own head sometimes where I'm like, hey, if I really reverse engineer this is actually a hyper genius award naming system. But I'm going pretty simple with this one, but I think it works. I mean, Musa still had, I think, like 3 points in the second game. Like, he's always in contention for the CCC award. Like, it was like when we were talking about Bobby. It was like when we were talking about Cole O'Hara. Like, there's a guy that's going to always be in contention because he just, I think he has, I think 31 points on the year now, which is like 8 more than the next best guy, if I'm not mistaken. So like he's starting to run away with the point totals here. He's just that dude. But again, Galanik, he's been killing it, bro, especially for a freshman. Like, the thing that jumped out the most, and it's not even that related to this award, the amount of faceoffs that Jack Galanik's been taking. I just saw, I think it was in the second game, dude took like 32 faceoffs. Like, that's like more than half of like the entire team's faceoffs. Like, this guy is being deployed, I'm pretty sure, on every single defensive zone faceoff that we get because we just trust him like that. You know what I mean? Like, we're just putting him in the most crucial situations, and he's been doing damn good when called upon. Like, I think this kid, has he even hit 19 yet? Like, real talk, I'm looking him up right now. I don't know if he's 18 or 19 yet. He just turned. All right, never mind. He's been 19 since June, so he's almost 20. My bad. But he's been killing it, dude. He's not the oldest guy out there. He still has a ton of time left in him, like we've been talking about with Justin Kerr. Atlantic's that guy, man. Also, the pride of Hopkinton, Mass, dude. Mass kid, you love to see it. So he's been doing quite well. 8 points in his last 10 games, just throwing that out there. 7 points in his last 5. Kid's been absolutely electric. Hope he keeps it up. He rocks.
Yeah, it's impressive how, like, fit into this program he feels. He doesn't feel like a freshman at all.
Not
he feels
at all.
Like a sophomore or a junior, just like used to seeing him out there. He gets a ton of ice time, gets the job done. You can't really say anything negative about him. And then obviously we've glazed Jack Musa for years at this point. So the two Jacks, man, put them together, good stuff's happening, and can't complain very much at all when it comes to the two of them. They've been fantastic.
Never.
All right, so those are our awards. Good job to those guys. And is there anything left for this Lowell series? Probably the last time we're going to see them this year before we move on.
Yeah, good riddance, man. I think we're ready to turn the page.
Yeah, we don't need any of that bad goon energy.
Never.
Going forward in this season. And like we mentioned, UMass has a break for a little while now. A weird, like, February bye week. I can't recall us ever having that, like, kind of schedule set up in the second half of the season during play.
We're just giving them the Valentine's Day off, you know what I mean? Let them dude, they've earned it, you know what I mean? Go take the ladies out on a nice date, or the dudes, I don't know. It could be a what's that heated rivalry center? I'm not implying anything, but you never know. But We respect everything here on the High of Character podcast besides Lowell and BC fans and UNH fans, but everything else is cool. But sorry to cut you off there, Cam. Figured it was funny.
Yeah, safe to say that we're not going to find ourselves at UNH in 2 weeks' time.
Hell no.
Real high character puck knowers know if you want to know, to go back a couple years and listen to our UNH series recap. A lot went on, a lot of drama. It was unfortunate, but we're past it. UNH, our first time seeing them this season. After this, the only team that we haven't seen is UConn. So finally getting through that Hockey East schedule. And these are games, man, UMass, if they want any chance at the at-large bid into the tournament, they need both of these games. Yes, there's no debating. There's no, they could still do this. They need both of these games. They need to win both of them. UNH is not a good hockey team. They're 11-14-1 right now. In Hockey East, they're 5-10-1. Even at home, they're 4-8-1. Usually have an advantage at Whitmore, and they just don't have it this year. Really shocking looking at their schedule. Their very first game of the season, they upset Michigan State on the road. Michigan State, number 2 in the rankings at the time. Right now in the NPI, they are literally number 1. So
yeah.
Crazy win, 4-3. And then that was the highlight of their season. You look up and down their schedule, there's nothing that really stands out or impresses you at all. They have a close win on the road at UConn. They have a couple wins against Maine, who they were ranked at the time, but they've really fallen off since then. And it's about it, man. Like, this is not a great hockey team by any metric outside of those couple weird ranked wins that they have. But like I said, games that we have to have. It's kind of unacceptable if we don't win both of these games.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite literally do or die, because, I mean, I don't really see a path forward. Granted, I feel like we were also saying 2 months ago that we weren't really seeing a path forward NPI-wise unless we went on a stupid run. So anything can change, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I think realistically, I mean, if UNH gets the better of us, is one game enough? Like, is the sweep really a necessity? I mean, I don't want to run all the scenarios here, because let's be honest, folks, we're starting to get towards that time. I always hate this time of the year because we got to start doing, you know, math and shit. And granted, coming from an engineer, I probably shouldn't be complaining about having to do math, but it is what it is. I do transportation, not the same thing, so a little bit different. But yeah, dude, I mean, I think we easily take the game of Mullins, right? Like, you'd have to figure. But like you said, I mean, Whitmore hasn't exactly been a fortress for them this year, but I don't know, man. Like, that place has been a house of horrors. Have we still seen a win in that stadium yet? Or, like, at least personally, like, when I've been in there, I don't think
we have personally. It's been
maybe it's a good thing that we're not going then. You know what I mean? I don't know. But it is what it is. I mean, I back ourselves. I mean, I'm looking at their team right now, UNH. They don't have a single player that's over a point per game. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't even think they're even remotely close. Like, let me get this up here. So, yeah, their highest goals or highest point score, they don't even have a single guy in the double digits for goals. Their highest point score is Morgan Winters, 19 points in 24 games. Almost their entire team is a negative, you know what I mean, in terms of plus minus. Their goaltending, both of their goaltenders are under 900 save percentage. I mean, all signs are pointing to us having the advantage on paper. Now, Evan, games are played on ice and not on paper. Yeah, I get it. You know what I mean? But again, if I were to run the simulations, right, I think there's a 90% chance that we should take these. So I feel confident. I think we'll be fine. But again, anything can happen. It's just, especially college hockey. You know what I mean? Anything can happen. Like you said, they friggin' beat Michigan State, the number one team in college hockey, I think, after this past weekend. So, you know, it is what it is. Anything can happen, but I like our chances.
Yeah, and like similar to Vermont a couple weeks ago, they're pretty anemic offensively. They only have 2 goals per game average this season. Not great on the power play. Their one stat that kind of shines through is their faceoff percentage, 54.2%, which at this point in the season is very impressive for a number. It's kind of the only thing that jumps off the page, but I did run a simulation. If UMass has 6 games left in the regular season. If they win all 6 of them in regulation, they only get to 12th in the NPI, which is kind of on the bubble with the Bears hockey this year. So, like, yeah, there's no question about it. They need to win both of these games if they want. They want that to stay in play. Obviously, winning Hockey East and getting a bid that way will always be in play, but you want to take care of business here, man. It's time. I mean, you have a couple tougher opponents after that. You have two with UConn, you have another with BC. Like, those are going to be the tough games. Let's not make these tough. Let's get rested, let's get bodies back, take the time we need, and then step on their throats.
Yeah. It's simple as that. I mean, I don't really know if it was simple, actually, because that was a pretty long explanation, but you get the idea. I mean, we just got to get it done, and I think we have that. I mean, again, if Frabble's locked in, that's the biggest thing, I feel like, because Frabble has been an absolutely huge part of just the fact that we're even sniffing the NCAA tournament right now. And if you were to ask me that during friggin' winter break, I would have probably tried to strangle you. You know what I mean? I would have called you an absolute idiot. So, you know, again, anything can happen. Things can change, but I like our chances. You know, I think this is a good group. I think this is a very together group. I think the coaching has been really, really good. I mean, as is most seasons, let's be honest here. So I like our chances. I'm confident.
Yeah, and taking a look at the Hockey East standings, like, UMass is fourth right now, which if you told us that a couple weeks ago, I would have been...
Dude, we were dead last like a month ago. Literally.
So fourth place right now, and I'd say, given how the rest of the table looks here, like, I think it's pretty solid odds that we're going to get the bye. We're fourth right now. BU is fifth, 3 points behind us, and we have a game in hand. And then Maine is six points behind us. They have one game in hand over us, so they can't even make that up. So, I mean, just take care of business with UNH and do your job the rest of the season, and looking like a first-round bye, which is fantastic. Didn't get that last year. Had to squeak out that, was it a 1-0, 2-1 win, something like that, against Vermont last year?
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
Yeah, on the Wednesday game, you never want to be playing on Wednesday.
No.
So, and there's still a chance to climb too. UConn and BC are ahead. They're only ahead by 2 points. They both have a couple games in hand, but like you said, college hockey, anything can happen. So, I like where we're at right now, man. It's not where I thought we would be at the halfway point of this season, so it's a very welcome surprise.
We'll take it. The last thing I was going to bring up, I mean, do we even think of, like, I don't actually know how the math works out, so this might be the dumbest question, so I'm asking you this, Cam, in earnest. But, I mean, does it almost get to the point where, like, we might not want the bye week game, because if we want to play an extra game, would that help our NPI if we want it? Like, I think, is that like a crazy take?
I think it would marginally, but I don't think it's worth. I think
like
still
risking the loss, right?
The odds right now are our best chance to make the tournament is winning Hockey East.
Yeah,
so you put yourself in a position where you only need 3 wins to do that is probably the best.
No, that's fair for sure. And I mean, especially considering like the teams like below us, you know what I mean? Like, imagine a team like Maine, right? Who I think is like below us on the table right now, or even like. Was BU below us, I'm pretty sure. Right?
Yeah, BU's like, fifth and Maine is sixth.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, imagine one of those teams gets clipped by, like, Vermont. You know what I mean? Like, we literally just saw Vermont beat BC, if I'm not mistaken, right? So, like, imagine that. Like, there's an upset somewhere along there, and it's like, now we might even have an easier path. You know, maybe. You never know. Again, depending on the seeding or whatever, maybe, you know, BC gets the easier team instead. Whatever. But, like, there's an opportunity there for us is kind of my point, you know, where we could potentially play some easier competition. So
yeah, we'll Hockey see. East is wide open this year. I mean, the one juggernaut in the standings is Providence, and historically and this season, we know we could beat them.
So, for sure. Like, dude, imagine that. Imagine Providence and UMass at the Garden, bro. Like, that'd be kind of crazy. So, I mean, you still like, it kind of sounded like it, you know, it didn't really sound like it at first, because when you said that we only had 6 games left in the regular season, my heart kind of started to, you know, flutter a little bit in a bad way, thinking, oh, shit, the season's like, at least the regular season's almost gone, but still got a lot of hockey left to play, folks. We have hopefully some postseason aspirations, and, you know, we got a lot more time to watch this team, so hopefully it lasts just a bit longer.
Yeah, and everybody enjoy the bye week. Enjoy. I mean, it sucks not watching UMass hockey, but take the mental break. You won't have that for a few more weeks afterwards. So maybe watch some Olympic hockey. It's been pretty fun. We were the both of us watching the USA women's hockey team while we're recording this episode on Monday evening, which is kind of fun. But yeah, it'll be fun coming out. Hopefully we get some healthy bodies and start the playoff push. It's good time, great time of the year. It's always fun when you're in it. So that is all we have. Appreciate you guys for watching. Not watching. We didn't post this on YouTube. Appreciate you guys for listening. And go UMass.
Close enough, Cam. Go UMass. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, which sounds kind of crazy, but love you all.